Me in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. And as you're turning, I want to just let you know, saints, that 41 years I've been in the ministry. I started ministering the word 41 years ago in 1979, early 80. And I began as a teacher in Sunday school and advanced and grew from that area. I have been a student of the Word since that time, in that the way I study and all. But I want to tell you right now, and this is why it's so exciting, but right now, with what the Lord is doing with me, in guiding me into the topics he wants covered. And the most amazing thing, it's the first time in all my ministry, actually in all my life, that he has me focused on nothing but the Word of God and associated messages with that. As you'll see, we've been studying it for the last 6 weeks, I believe, on Wednesdays, and that's coming to an end, but on the heels of some guest speakers, we're going to get right back into that theme on faith, which you need the word for that to work. But it's just amazed me how God is encouraging us, encouraging me to go in this direction. And with that said, I want to tell you that my goal as a minister right now, my goal is to do whatever I can to get you to a place where you, and this is not a bad thing, and I can't go into deep, but get you to a place that you are not dependent upon me or any other teachers or ministers to learn to understand God's word. But that I can start equipping you, and I'll do little things each week, to where I can equip you for the ministry God has called you. And I'll tell you, no matter what your ministry, you've got to understand the word some. And so we're going to be doing that, to try my best to instruct you on how to study this word for yourself easily. As a matter of fact, this message today, I've done it as if we were sitting in my living room and studying this topic. But please understand that that's my goal, to get you where you don't depend on nobody but God and the Holy Spirit to give you guidance and direction in the Word. And I don't know about you, but in my theological aspects, I believe that's the way God wants it. Does anybody know why King James commissioned the King James Bible back in the 1600s? Huh? Right, to have an accurate English, because there was none. And that is part. But the number one main reason is he wanted the common man to have the ability to read the Word of God, because back then it was all in Latin. And only the priests had scriptures to read. Now, since that time, we should be progressing and improving in that study habit. It's going to get exciting, because I've got to move on. I want to share with you today the message that's simply entitled, Purify Yourself. We want to read out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, and please listen to the wording. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. I'm going to start it over. Please listen. Listen to the words. Verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Be born again, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides how long? Forever. For our flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And I love this last phrase. And this is the word which by the gospel we preached unto you. Peter makes, I'm going to cut a bunch of, well, let me just say this. In the church, even to this point today, there has always been, when it comes to the subject of purification or sanctification, there has always been two separate camps of holding to what it means, what it is, when it happens. Does anybody know when sanctification occurs? Huh? Okay, and both, right there with that statement from Sister Bruce, both views come into play, and that is this. One camp holds that the experience of sanctification, purification, occurs when you're born again. You accept the Lord. How many of you have accepted the Lord as your Savior? When that happened, you were sanctified. You were purified at that instant moment. And that's the line, half of the camp, well, I don't have the statistics. That's one line of study. The other line of study is that it's an ongoing process. It's something that you grow into year after, or you, it's something you should grow into year after year after year. Now, here's to save us an hour. Both camps are right. It is something that happens instantly. But then, you grow, it's like birth. How many of you were born? Not again, just born. When you were born, I bet you were very small. Didn't know nothing. Couldn't do nothing but make a mess in your diaper. Try and complain. But you didn't stay that way. Once you were born, you were then in life. But you started growing, developing. And that's exactly what sanctification's about. It happens at the experience, but then I grow into it. I come to understand it on a different level. I begin to develop in it. That's what it's really all about. But watch the statement that Peter makes here, because it's an unusual statement. He says in verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls. Who did? You did. Or you should have done it. Or you should be doing it. So what we want to do today is spend some time to find out, what does he mean by that? Let me ask you this. How many of you think you know what he means by that? Have an idea, okay? We're going to look at what does he mean by that. But then this. As human beings, can we really purify our souls? Can we do it? Do we have anything to do with it? Let's get into it. Your theological slant will determine how you process scriptural commands such as this one given to us by Peter. When it comes to approaching the Word of God, you either approach it from the legalistic mindset of the Pharisees, or you view the Word of God from a standpoint of grace, which is to follow the mindset of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Bring up chapter 11 of Matthew, please, verses 28 through 30. Watch this. Well, we'll just do 28. We won't go past that. No, we'll have to go to 29. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. 29. Take my what? Upon you, and lo, go to the next one. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Here's the question. What is he talking about, yokes and burdens? What is that? What's he mean by that? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Because I'm not going to get through this message this morning, I can see it. I've done 15 minutes and I said nothing. Well, I will say this. Christ, in this conversation, is referencing his teachings as opposed to the teachings of the legalistic Pharisees. Christ says, when it comes to his word, he says, I'm paraphrasing all of it, he says, get into the words I've spoken to you. Learn them. Study them. Concentrate on them. The things that I have taught you, the lessons I have given you. My lessons are not designed to lead you to a place of bondage. See, that's what the Pharisees did. That's what our forefathers did with you can't wear pants, you can't wear makeup, you can't go here, you can't go there. All of that was a legalistic slant. Now watch what Christ does here. He says, and again, I'm paraphrasing this out. He says basically, that's not my way. My teachings, which is yokes. My teaching is easy. My burden is what? Light. What's the burden? If yoke refers to his teaching, what then is his burden? What's it represent? You know this, but sometimes you guys get so nervous when I ask. But I know you know it. It is simply this. The burden refers to the requirements of his teaching. Again, the legalistic mindset of the Pharisees, they taught in such of a way that led you into a life of bondage. That was the burden. You had to follow the strict legalistic viewpoint of the Pharisees. Christ says, my teachings don't go that way. My teaching, and this is beautiful. My teaching leads us, or leads you, you understand I'm talking about the Lord's teaching. My teachings don't lead you to a place of bondage. It leads you to a place of grace. Oh, sucky, sucky. It's going to sink in a minute. The Pharisees instructed people to bondage, led them to bondage. The teaching of Christ, and I'm going to camp here for just a couple seconds. The teaching of Christ, on the other hand, leads us, please get this, to the grace of God. Something else of importance I want to throw in here very quickly is this. Jesus Christ, this is my opinion, I believe this, as much as I believe he died on the cross, and as much as I believe I'm born again, I believe what I'm about to tell you. And that is that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, is adamantly opposed to anything that gets in the way of people encountering God. That is my belief. You don't have to accept that. But I believe that. I believe he opposes any of that stuff that we try to put on people as they're trying to encounter a relationship with God, but we can't get to it because of all this legalistic mumbo jumbo stuff that's being put on us. And trust me, to a degree, legalism still exists. And in many places, and I'm not attacking nobody, but in many places, it even comes through what sounds like the ministry of grace. There's a young man, I'm not going to tell you his name. If you don't know him, you don't know him. Pastors a very large church. I'm going to say Hong Kong, but I don't know if he's actually in China or if he's on the island. But pastors a very large church, very intelligent man. Pretty much of what I've heard in most cases, has a good, respectable theological viewpoint until he got on grace. And some reason he went hog wild by misunderstanding it. That can happen. But listen, I want to make that statement again, that Christ is opposed to anything that gets in the way of people trying to encounter the presence of God. All of the New Testament, from the book of Romans to the third chapter, the end of the third chapter of Revelation, all of the New Testament is written to guide people to the presence and grace of God. And if your teaching leads to anything else, you are not working with the Spirit of Christ mindset. Because everything the Lord does is to bring us to God, not to bring us to prison. He said, I've come so you can be free. I know he didn't say it that way, but it's the same thing. I've come to let you be free. I didn't come to place more on you. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't know this If all we're doing is relying on other people to teach us what this word says, we have got to get in it for ourselves. We've got to learn to study it for ourselves. It's not hard. You got a computer. How many of you got a computer at home? Access to the internet. You have the ability. If you don't have access to the internet, I can give you, I can lead you to two books for a starting point. It's all your two books that'll get you in studying God's word. You're in no time, in months. You'll be knowing things that long-term pastors don't know because they've never studied it right. But I just tell you, I want to get you to where you are not dependent on anybody. That you are not repeating constantly anybody. But that you're sharing what you share because God placed this inside of me. Listen, saints. Because I'm not going to get to it, I'm almost sure, till next week. We'll learn next week that this act of purifying yourself has much to do, let me say it this way, can't be done without the Word of God being a part of it. This aspect we'll see next week of purifying yourself is impossible without the work of the Holy Spirit being involved. And Peter said both of that in the text we read. I don't know if you know this. I hope I say this right. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we are told, get your mind together, Tony. No, it's not chapter 4, verse 14. The whole thing is verse 14. Let me just say what the word says, because I get, whenever I try to remember the verse in Scripture, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, hallelujah, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, and the end saying, full of what? Grace. Truth. How did Peter say you purified your own souls? By obeying truth. Listen, church, we're going on a trip. But I want you to catch it. I want to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me put this here. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to read a few verses there. And I'm going to tell you, I have probably read the book of Hebrews itself more than any other individual book in the Bible, with the exception maybe of 1 John. Hebrews, 1 John, my two favorite books. I have taught in this church years ago, I have taught the book of Hebrews with 6 different slants. And I'm working on teaching it again with something I never taught before, because that's how much is in. Hundreds of times I've read it. something's going to come up here that I never personally caught or paid attention to, and I don't know anybody else that has. If they did, they didn't say it in my presence. Watch what he says in verse 14, chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, speaking of the Lord, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Does it say? He shared in the same that through death, why did he do it? He might destroy him who had. Can I throw you a quick curveball? Because I'm not going to finish this message. But I got a great stopping off point. But can I throw you a curveball here? If he destroyed him who had, what did he have? Power of death. Did Christ destroy him who had the power of death? Yes or no? Did Christ destroy the devil? Well, I'm not. If you guys are wrestling with that part, I'm not going to take it no further than that. So I'll go back this way. Well, yeah, verse 14, the end of it. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And do what? 15, delivers them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, this next verse is the one I never got before. Watch. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels. Now, I want to read it from modified King James, verse 16. For verily, he took not on himself the nature of angels. Back to this translation. But he does give aid to who? Well, who's the seed of Abraham? Now watch. End of verse 16 in the Modified King James. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. I've never once ever paid attention to what he said there until a couple of weeks ago. And I'm just going to tell you very quickly, coming out of the Septuagint. The Septuagint is merely the Old Testament written in Greek. And that's how it was way back when. And here's what it deals with. It says that he did not of angels did he take hold. In other words, he said he didn't come in the form of an angel. He could have. We believe he did prior to birth. I mean, I do anyway. I believe there's appearances of Christ in angelic form back in the Old Testament with Joshua, Abraham, and other places. But it says here that he did not take on the form of an angel. He took on the form of the seed of Abraham. He didn't take on the form of an angel. But he took hold, grabbed on to, gravitated toward the seed of Abraham. What is the seed of Abraham? I know there's several, and I could probably get several answers, and I'm going to come to a close. As soon as I get through this, I'm only going to come to a close. But what is Abraham known as through Scripture? Huh? What's that? Father of what? Father of the nations. What did you say? You said the same thing. What did you say? Faith. Does the Bible tell us that Abraham is the father of faith? Sure does. So, Christ came and took on the form of a man of faith. Just like Abraham, and just like us, he came to do that. And in doing so, I know it's a weird place to stop, but I'm done. In doing so, he has, because he did this, has put us in a place that we have the ability now to purify ourselves. I'll give you insight into next week. Through obedience to the word, the truth, through involvement of the Holy Spirit, Peter says all this, and then there's some more. What's all this mean, Pastor? This means, saints, that you have the ability to live this life in a level of faith equal to Christ. We can have the faith like Abraham had. And the first thing I tell people to think about with Abraham's faith is that really the first thing that steps out to me on it is he was promised new life coming out of an old body. And that's what he got. New life from an old body. Rise up with me if you would. Again, I'll hold off till next week for that song. Also, I'll bring this back next week. I'm not troubled by where we're at. I'm glad, truthfully. I am glad. I do need to say quickly that last week I made a reference. Last week I made a reference to Jamie Leonard. And I messed up. I didn't mean Jamie. I meant Frankie. Frankie Leonard. If you were here, you know what happened. Church, I want to encourage you here, those at home. Please spend some time today, 5 minutes, as a starting point, 5 minutes, alone with God. And if you have a desire to get to that place, that you are living a life fully pleasing and acceptable to God, if that's your desire, then I want you to start today, 5 minutes, alone with God, asking him, how you can get there. Guide you, direct you. Let your requests be made known. Let your heart out. And let God make you the person that you really want to be. Pastor, I'm having so much difficulty with all the stress. I understand that. And I'm not going to give you some phony pictures. The stress doesn't go away because you're doing more for God. Most times mine goes. But it's manageable and it's different. God has something for you to do. And God has something he wants to give you. But it's not just going to happen because God wants it. Father, I just ask you right now, Lord. Lord, I know that things did not go at all as I had figured in my preparation of this day. I understand that in no way, form, or fashion did things come out the way I thought. But I thank you for what's been done. Thank you for the songs we sung. I thank you for that anointing upon Pastor Leon. I thank you for the anointing on Pastor Anna as she led and directed people and brought out of them the word you wanted them to share. And I thank you for the testimonies. I thank you, Lord, that this is just a beginning. Something's coming. And it's going to be exciting. So I ask you, Lord, today to bless your people, that they be able to process this word I released this morning and will bring back to them next week, that they will be able to process it all together, that we become your children, your students. Father, there's such a hunger, Lord, and a desire. And there is such an assault upon our individual members. But Lord, we hold to you. We hold to your word. And I pray, Lord, that your word will resonate in our spirits this week. Take root in our hearts. Rise up within us. And assist us in our work. And now I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence, and bring us back to the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen and amen.